Hello and welcome to Better Construction with Sean McStay, the podcast where we discuss design and construction techniques, products, and details that lead to a better built environment. All right, guys, welcome to this week's episode of Better Construction. This week, I am thrilled to have with me Travis Brungart. Travis is the partner at Catalyst, which is a home building company, and also a co-founder of BS and Beer. So Travis, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Sean. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, no, I'm happy that we were able to connect and get you on here, because I've definitely been following kind of the evolution and expansion of BS and Beer. And I'm curious to learn more about that. Before we jump into that, though, maybe introduce yourself for our listeners.
Yeah, my name is Travis Brungart. I am, as Sean said, a builder in Prairie Village, Kansas, which is a good 10 minutes from downtown Kansas City, Missouri. So my little corner of the world, it's a great spot to be. We're in the wealthiest county in Kansas. So even though a lot of people consider it flyover country, I love it here. The Midwest has a lot to offer, not just in terms of people generally being kind and considerate of one another, but there's wide open spaces to go with occasional spots of city. Like we have in Kansas City, Missouri, where the Nelson Atkins Art Museum is, where the sports teams are, and what everyone thinks about when they think of Kansas City, they're thinking about everything on the Missouri side. Here on the Kansas side, we have less of that, but I've got excellent wind energy to my west, and I've got lakes that I can take my kids to so they can fish and kayak, and there's a lot of good things going on here in the Midwest. So we do mostly remodeling projects. We do build new homes occasionally, but we're typically a remodeling contractor. We do a ton of room additions, blow out the back of a house and add a master suite or a kitchen or both, or take the roof off. That's been kind of our bread and butter for years, is removing the load-bearing walls that divide the kitchens from dining rooms and living rooms in the 1950s era construction that kind of surrounds this area. On the Missouri side, we're going back closer to the 1900s. And, those four squares, the multi-story homes, we've done a fair amount of more aesthetic remodels in those. We don't end up doing a ton of additions because they're already big houses, but there's a lot of opportunity for energy improvements. So that's the bulk of the type of work that we do. We tend to do a lot of our work in-house, which makes us unique in our market. My partner, Joe Cook, and I, who founded the business with a third partner over a decade ago, and he moved on to structural engineering. It's just Joe and I running a company now. We're licensed in all the trades. So I carry my master electricians and my master mechanical license. Joe carries the master plumber and the general contractor's license. So that's a little bit about us and what we do.
Perfect. Well, that's exciting. It's definitely nice to find people who are passionate about construction and passionate about building science for you specifically. I always ask my guests, because I'm curious, how did you get into construction? Was it something you were always interested in, or was it just kind of a serendipitous thing for you?
So even as a kid, I was like everyone else. I built with Legos and I like to take stuff apart. I had an uncle who ran a hardware store in a super small town in north central Kansas. And I worked for him in the summer, but it turns out I'm terrible at working at a store. And so he very quickly was like, well, how about if you wax the car? How about if you fix the truck? How about if you mow the grass? You're terrible at data entry. We got to find something for you to do. So summer at grandma's was kind of a cost burden for my uncle Jerry. But that was the very, very early ages. In high school, I did a lot of theater. We had a high school program that was nationally recognized on the theatrical side. And of course, we also had sports, but we were terrible at sports. And I'm terrible at sports. So that was a good marriage. I did the theater program all 4 years, then like 16 shows, and built sets for every show that I wasn't the lead or in a part of an important way. And so that's where I really started like messing with tools and figuring out plans. And I really enjoyed that. And one of the things that was cool about that is, it was a high school theater program. There's not a big budget. So whatever you build in the spring show, you're taking apart and it's going to be the set in the fall. So you're reusing all of your materials and you have to be responsible with that stuff. There's a limited amount of tools and you really do have to plan it out. So that was probably my first exposure to really building stuff. And then after high school, I thought I was going to go to school to be a photographer. And that sort of coincided with the end of the film era. And that was really where I shined. I don't have a photographer's eye. My vision for you know, the perfect sunset or whatever. That's not there. But I was magic in the darkroom. I could take a crummy negative and turn it into a good print. So when film died and everything was computer oriented, I kind of went away from that. And I would be doing, you know, a deck build for a buddy or fix a fence here and there. And the more I worked with tools, the more I really enjoyed it. And I did get a job as a photographer instead of actually going to college. A friend of mine, his dad runs a construction documentation business here in town. And so being able to see construction happening, and of course, that's not residential construction. That's huge office buildings and corporate projects. Whole subdivisions and, you know, pipelines and things like that. But being around construction in that way just deepened that admiration and joy in watching people make things and, you know, watching this old house. Like every kid, I was up Saturday morning and, you know, Norm was my buddy. I came to really love the art of construction far before I had any skills to back it up. And after working several years as a photographer, I got an opportunity to work with a remodeling company in town that was very small, not unlike our firm now, that self-performed pretty much everything. So some days I hung wallpaper and some days I was wiring the panel. I got to learn every trade because we did everything in-house. And I still hate hanging wallpaper, but I still love working in panels. So that was kind of my move from, you know, school to construction.
Very cool. So with Catalyst, you talked a little bit about the company already, but I'm curious, like, what's different about Catalyst base compared to some of the other companies out there?
Yeah, I like to think that we're different. I always say there's nobody that cares more than I do. And that may not be true, but I always say it anyway, because that's how I feel it. I really think that a lot of times we get hired, we don't advertise, we're word of mouth only, we're super small, and it takes us forever to get anything done. So our clients are a loyal and war-hardened following. They really suffer to have us on their projects because we tend to not be as fast as our competitors that would bring in, you know, 16 different subcontractors all on top of each other and bang it out and be gone. But it's really, really important to Joe and I that our clients feel like we gave them the attention that their project deserved and that we cared about their family living in that house comfortably. With, you know, obviously safety is paramount, but that's pretty low bar. You and I were talking before the show started about how code is the life safety protection. We're not really a minimum code builder. We're really, for a long time, we've been focused on moving things along so that our kids will have clean air and water when we're gone. And the things that we get excited about are the details that are the details that make up durable homes. And to me, durability is not just a function of, you know, did you keep the water out of the wall so it wouldn't rot, but it's more along the lines of, did you do that? And is it also aesthetically pleasing so that someone doesn't want to throw it away? Because if it's in the landfill, because it was ugly, it doesn't matter that it didn't leak. So we focus on those details. We get really excited about kind of pushing the envelope in energy efficiency. When I met Jake Bruton at a Keep Craft Alive event in Columbia a while ago, he kind of introduced me to the world of air sealing and the magical effect that you can have on an envelope with next level air sealing. And we've really dove in on that. That tends to be kind of the focus of our industry because the things that we do all the time, we're already good at. That stuff's easy for us and there's no challenge there. So you can't get up and get excited about, oh yeah, I didn't create any fire hazards when I wired that whole house. Well, yeah, of course you didn't. You did the bare minimum. What did you do that made it better for that client? How is that client going to enjoy that home more because of your efforts? How is it that you've made it better for when they do decide to remodel it in 15 years? Can they take that apart without having to throw it in the landfill? Or is it full of foam and now you have to just throw it away because you can't even separate the materials? So we get super excited and nerd out about you know, mineral wool bats and, you know, big overhangs. Like I'm at a constant war to get rid of gutters in my market. I just don't want any more, or eaves troughs for my Canadian friends. We definitely get, more excited about those details and everything else is sort of just a given. You know, obviously we're going to keep the water out and we're going to air seal it and we're going to insulate and we're going to control for vapor. That's a given. it's the excitement of how can we do even better every day, or really more often on the next project? What can we talk to the client about before we even start and get them excited about, so that we can kind of create a sea change in our market where our clients start to come to us and ask us, hey, did you see Basic's video on Perfect Block? Would you guys consider that for this edition? Like, yeah, that sounds great. I'm all in. That's what makes it fun.
That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, I totally agree. And I think when I hear people say, you know, well, I build the code, I it always makes me think of this Chris Rock skit where he's talking about something and they say, you know, oh, I do this. And it's like, well, what, do you want a cookie? Like, you have to build the code, guy. this is not an optional thing that you're choosing to do. Like, this is what's basically required. So it's good to hear other people that are kind of passionate about stepping beyond that as well. And I guess that kind of segues well into, you know, the building science side of things. And how you talked a little bit about how that's progressed for you. But where did the idea for kind of launching that into the building science and beer side of things come from?
Yeah, I got really lucky. I'm very lucky. I'm luckier than I should be. But the opportunities that I've had that have led me down this path and the exposure to the right people at the right times has been really formative. So I will tell you that probably the turning point for me was when I was working for a large production home builder after the photographer. I got the opportunity to go to contractor licensing classes. And even though I wasn't a licensed contractor, he allowed us to utilize, I think, 8 hours a year in training. And I got to take a class from Mark Liberté, who's a part of Construction Instruction. Mm-hmm. Excellent speaker. He talked about, I think the class was like the elements of the envelope or housing as a system. It was something like that, but it was environmentally focused. It wasn't just about like, these are the components. It was very much like, you guys could all do better. And he opened the class with a quote from the like the inside cover of the Audell's Builder's Guide from like 1952, which I immediately ordered on eBay after the class. But the quote was from John Ruskin, and it basically said, you know, when we build, let it be forever. And it's often quoted, but it was something I'd never heard before. And that kind of led me down this path. His class was just inspirational. That quote right on through his whole presentation. I left that class to go to lunch, and I was like, man, I can't even go back to class. I've got to go and save the world. Like, I can do so much more in my industry to make an impact on society overall, and certainly on the firsthand experience of the person that lives in this house. It was really a watershed moment where I was like, I got to seize this opportunity. And Mark had a series that you could buy on Taunton's website that I bought and watched on my computer, where he kind of explained to me what was an introduction to building science. Like, I didn't take physics in high school and I didn't finish college. So science and math were not my strength. I was very much like an artsy guy. And that started a fire that has been kept burning with, you know, a subscription to Fine Home Building and JLC and all the wonderful podcasts that you can engage in now. And every single opportunity that's presented itself to learn more about building science, I just take it. And there's a lot of great people in our industry that are so generous with their time, and they'll answer you if you ask them a question. You can send them a message on Instagram, or I found Mike Main's email address after much later down the road. After that initial building science course, I stayed working with the production builder for a couple more years. The market tanked. My partner Joe and I formed Catalyst with a third partner who went back to engineering after a time, and we kept going. But the contractor licensing classes that Joe and I have to do to keep our four licenses, I mean, we're burning 40 hours a week a year for sure to keep those licenses. So I'm taking all these classes. And after one of the classes, I ran into our local aero barrier rep, and I was talking to him about, oh man, I saw on Instagram, this Mike Maines, he's always posting this BS and beer schedule, but it's in Maine. Like, I'm never going to get to go to Maine to have beers for 2 hours with a guy. Like, that's a hard sell for a family vacation. Like, oh yeah, we're going to go on a 34-hour road trip. And then I just need one night off. I don't care what else we do on the vacation. Like, I've got a 9-year-old and a 6-year-old. They're not interested in that commute. So in talking to this guy, Joe Nichols, he goes, oh, well, we should just start our own here. I was like, yeah, that's a great idea. And I went back to class and I didn't really think too much more about it. And then 2 days later, I got an email from him and he was like, yeah, how about we do it April 18th? Like, okay. Like I was kind of stammered, but I immediately sent Mike Maines an email. Mike Maines had done the Pro Home in 2016 with Fine Home Building. And I've loved that house. Like watching Mike Girton assemble that thing, everything about it, I was like, oh, that's brilliant. Why don't I do it that way? I got to change everything I do because this idea and this idea. And with Mike's involvement in Pretty Good House Movement, I was like, this is the way everyone should be building. Like Pretty Good House does things that I can't accomplish trying to sell passive house in my market. So I really was chasing that down. Like, yep, improve it until it doesn't make sense. Martin Holiday was a huge influence on me. We just got really, really lucky that I ran into Joe Nichols and he was like, yeah, let's do this. And so my partner, Joe Cook, and I were like, yeah, we'll buy everyone beer and we'll get everyone together. We'll do this BS and beer thing. And I sent Mike Maines an email and told him, hey, I don't know if this is intellectual property, if I'm going to get in big trouble, but I want to try and do this here. And instead of being like, oh, don't do that, that's mine, he sent me 5 pages of here's how you do it. These are the topics that we've used. This is the troubles that we've had in the past. So you might not want to do that. And he gave me the keys to the kingdom. I mean, Mike's just, and everyone in building science, they're just so generous. And so we hosted our first event and we've held events every month since. And it's been so much fun, but also so educational to engage the other groups. And I mean, there's new groups popping up every month. I think there's a group in Australia now. Like even during this pandemic, BS and Beer Springfield, Jason down there is hosting an event, I think next week. Like it's just, there's so much opportunity for people in our field to jump ahead, just go to a meeting and just listen and get better and ask questions. Because again, the generosity of the people in the field, everyone wants to help everyone do better. We're not competitors, we're colleagues. And I believe that to my core, especially in my market, at least the people that I deal with, no one's trying to get my business. They're not chasing my client. They're busy already. Everybody good's busy. It's just a matter of, you know, help me avoid this pitfall. Help me do a little better on my next build. And everyone wants to do that. And that's why it's been so much fun. That's why I love it.
That's awesome. Yeah, I definitely have also experienced that in a number of the different kind of high performance, better construction type groups and assemblies that I've been part of. The culture of kind of just sharing learned knowledge rather than kind of trying to hold on to that to have a competitive advantage yourself. I think it probably is a little bit that it comes naturally to people that are also inclined to, you know, step above the minimum code and spend the time and effort required to do that. But I have always been impressed with that. With the BS and Beer, how do people get involved with that? How do they find out more information about if they're someone local?
Yeah, that's a great question. And there's an excellent opportunity there. There is a BS and Beer show website that has some of those links. Robert Swinburne, the architect in the Northeast that attends Mike and Emily's meeting. Mike Maines and Emily Mottram are their co-hosts. I kind of say they're the hosts and I get to come along for the ride on the BS and Beer show, which is a weekly Zoom meeting hosted by Green Building Advisor. And now we have Kylie Jacques as the editor there. So she's on every week. But there's a website that's been created for that show so that people can kind of keep track of, you know, who's coming on, what topics are we covering, and certainly there to give us feedback. But that website that that Bob put together is also there as a resource for people to find a group in their local area or to do what I did and, you know, reach out to somebody and find out, hey, is this something I could do in my area? If there isn't already a group, maybe I start one. And to be a resource for people to just have that same opportunity that we had here. And I would really encourage anyone who thinks that, and I know it's a hard time to start things with COVID. It's tough. But I know like Bill Robinson is starting a red beans and rice and building science because he's in Louisiana and that's a Monday tradition. So they're going to do that. You can still lay the groundwork. And if you have questions or you need support or if you need show topics or anything at all, I mean, that's the beauty of this community. Everyone's standing on the shoulders of giants already. And everyone's just building each other up. So if you can reach out through the website, you can email me personally. You can find us through Instagram. There's a lot of different ways to connect. But I promise you, if you ask anything and say, hey, I want to put this group together, we'll do everything in our power to give you the information that will help you to succeed in having a fun conversation. None of this is for profit. There is no money in in this. The BS and Beer Show, Mike, Emily, and I, we don't get paid a dime to do this. I think Kylie's doing it in the evening. She's off the clock. I don't think anyone is in building science to get rich. And certainly we're not if we were doing that wrong too. But the idea of helping each other out and then being able to learn from each other, like the KC BS and Beer, or I guess it's BS and Beer KC on Instagram. A lot of the other Instagram personnel or groups have used that same format. So if you just want to search on Instagram, just type BS and then an underscore, you're going to see like 12 or 15 groups. A lot of the people that have put website resources up there on their Instagram handles. That's how I ran across Dan Hines, who's in BS and Beer DC. Him and Nick Berger run that up there, and they've been doing a great job of putting their content up virtually. So even if you can't get to a local group, and maybe the BS and Beer Show on Thursday nights is a bad viewing time for you, check out the individual accounts, because people are still doing their stuff and they're making it available online so that you can enjoy it from afar. But yeah, there's a lot of opportunity and the support's there. So if we can help in any way, reach out.
That's very cool. Yeah, definitely. I encourage people who are thinking about doing that or wanting to get that going in their area, definitely reach out. And I'll put some links down below to the website and all of that. One last question before we get into the last two questions is, I know you've got an event coming up with a couple of guys who've been on my show and definitely are well known to most of our listeners. So maybe talk a little bit about that.
I would love to. We have the first annual Midwest Building Science Symposium taking place in just a couple weeks here in Kansas City, Missouri. We've got Jake Bruton and Steve Basic, who people are familiar with from your show and probably likely other sources too. But those guys are just fantastic, and they are the very epitome of what I was talking about of being generous with their time. I mean, if you DM Steve a picture of a detail, you're getting a response, and he's going to tell you, this is how you want to build that. And you didn't spend a dime, and you just talked to one of the best architects in the land about how to improve things for you. And Jake's the same way. I mean, that's how I think I already mentioned, that's how I learned about air sealing. I learned it from Jake. He showed me, held my hand, and brought me along. So those guys are going to bring that to the Boulevard Brewery, which is a fantastic Midwest brewery in Kansas City, Missouri, on the 16th at 9:30 in the morning. If you want more information about the event, it's an all-day seminar. We're going to be fortunate to sit and listen to Jake and Steve cover the control layers from both the design side through the construction side, the pitfalls, the certain things to consider. And I know Steve's doing something a little different with this presentation. He talked to me about it. He's really going to involve people in the conversation. So it should be a lot of fun too. But it's an all-day seminar on the 16th. We're going to get started about 9:30 Central. It's at a brewery, so it's a bar. The beer is included. We're going to have it catered by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue, which is a nationally recognized. I think Anthony Bourdain said it was on the list of 10 places you got to eat before you die. So you come for the barbecue and the beer. But the building science is really going to be the star. We're really fortunate to get involved with Huber, who's very involved with Steve and Jake. They're sponsoring the event as the presenting sponsor. We have Fine Home Building as our media partner. Rockwell, Dan Edelman, has been fantastic. He kind of helped me plan the event at its very onset. And Sashco was early on to provide support as a sponsor as well. So we have a fantastic event. If anyone hasn't already registered, there are still a few spots left. It's a free to attend event. If you want to go to the easiest website to explain it is bit.ly/MWBSS2020. Perfect. So if you type that into your browser, you'll find it. If not, you can always go to bsandbeerkc.org. Like I said, there's no money in this. This is a not-for-profit. We really just want to share the BS. We want everyone to get better at their jobs and enjoy the hell out of it, because that's what we're doing. It's fantastic.
That is awesome to hear. And I'll definitely put links to that as well. If you're in the local area, definitely grab those tickets before they are gone. Is there going to be any kind of recording or anything of the event available later?
We have had a ton of people ask that, especially in the time of a global pandemic. There's been a large request for the virtual feed, but it was so important to us to do the live event. We didn't have that set out at the onset of the planning, and yep. It's been difficult to add it at this late hour. I will still be talking to Huber and Fine Home Building about, well, maybe we can record it and offer it as an after the fact. There's a lot of people that didn't make it into the registration. We want to share the information. No one's holding on to that for a buck. So we'd be happy to try and share it if we can. Logistically, I'm working on that, but I don't have I can't offer that right now.
Fair enough. Maybe for the second annual one, I'll get that for
next. That's right.
That's awesome.
The second annual is going to be, I'm really hoping it's going to be closer to the Fine Homebuilding Summit experience that I had last year. That was kind of what inspired it. We wanted to bring that back to our Kansas City folks who couldn't make it. A multi-day event with more people covering more topics. So yeah, we'll definitely cross that bridge when we come to it. Maybe it'll be virtual available too.
Very cool. Good.
Maybe we'll have you come down and do a live podcast from the event, Sean. I mean, we need some Canadian representation down here.
You had me at barbecue food, right? So that's awesome.
Come on.
As the listeners know, and you know as well, I always ask two questions towards the end of these things. The first question is, if you had your magic wand and you could remove any one misconception about better construction, what would it be for you?
I really think that there's a misconception that builders can move into better construction in pursuit of profit first. I do think that profitability is extremely important. Every business that doesn't profit fails, and you can't do any good if you're not in business. So I'm not saying that, but I am saying if you go at it from a, let's look at the margins and figure out, oh my gosh, people will pay for this. Yeah, let's do that. It's not going to work out. Your heart's got to be in it. You got to be doing it for the right reasons. You got to start with the motivation of what I call the generational mindset. I really think if you're in somebody's home and you're thinking about how they're going to experience that space, how their family is going to enjoy their holidays with the work that you do there, or if you're not a builder, if you're a designer and you think about not just the current owner, but the homes placed in our built environment for years to come, if you come at it with that mindset, you can do a whole lot of good and you can build better with higher performance as your goals, the support of the products and the people involved. You're going to get a better result and you're going to make more money because that stuff does cost more. But if you come at it trying to make money first, I think you're going to have a hard time. And I know this isn't unique to me. So many builders that I've talked to have said, well, you know, the way I started working these higher performance details into my package was I just do them. I don't talk to people about it. I just include it. That's in my number. Zip is my minimum. I don't talk about air sealing. That's part of my package. And if they don't hire me, then they don't get that. And I totally get that. We've done a lot of, I hate to say for free, but I did mention to you that Joe and I always joke about having our nonprofit division in our company, which is not intentional. We're always finding new and exciting ways to lose money. But we do, we get a great deal of quality of life benefit. You know, if you're not satisfied with your work and you start doing something good, you're probably going to be a lot more satisfied. And then it does seem to breed more high performance clients coming your way. If you're doing it and it isn't a secret and you're saying, even if it is a secret, if you don't tell the client and they still tell their friend how comfortable they are in the house because you built it better, that's your next client. And they're not going to argue with you about the underslab insulation or the triple pane windows because they want that same level of comfort that their friend has. So I do think if you come at it from the right place, a place where you're caring about the people and the environment, then the profit comes. But if you chase the profit first, I think that's the misconception. Don't go down this road to just make money. You're not going to get there.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think that's a fantastic answer. I think that most of the people that I found that have been successful in building better, whether that be through Net Zero, Passive House, whatever it is, Step Code in BC, they'll say that, you know, the first couple of times they do it, it's considerably more expensive than what they would normally do. But there's something also to be said on the profitability side that you're learning how to do that and the cost is going to come down because all of that learning has already happened. And so if this is where the industry is going and you eventually have to do it anyways, you might as well get on that train now. You know, maybe pay with a couple of projects that are a little bit less margin than you're comfortable with normally, and you'll get the number down to something that is less than what the market is willing to pay more for it. So I think that makes a lot of sense. But start with building it right for the right reasons. I like that. The last question I always ask is a personal interest question. I collect and love books. And I'm curious, if someone were to ask you for a book recommendation, personal or professional, what would it be for you?
Well, I'm embarrassed to say I don't actually read recreationally beyond my industry. Like I am the total nerd that really, I only read books about what I do. I really love this stuff. so I don't have a fun recreational read that's not related to this this industry and building science in general. I would be remiss if you asked me to talk about books and I didn't mention the BS and Beer Show book club, where we're reading The New Carbon Architecture by Bruce King. That show will be on the 24th and we discuss that book. So you still got a couple weeks and that's not a super long book. So people can still get involved and be part of the discussion for that. So that's an excellent book. But if I was going to have to recommend one for myself, I would probably recommend The Company We Keep by John Abrams. He was, I think that book's got to be like 10 years old, 12, 15 years, maybe. It was kind of, it was the book that we formed our company around when it was Joe Cook and Jason Barr, myself, forming Catalyst. Jason said, hey, I read this book. It's about South Mountain Company and the way they do business. I think this is what we should do. And it talks about the small home building company on Martha's Vineyard and how they structure everything from, you know, paid time off for their employees to kind of the stories of each house and the story of how they got to where they are. And it was really formative for me. And I would really recommend that to anyone who isn't totally turned off by my commentary on the misconception of profit and building, because that really is such an important book in my mind. I also really like Henry Gifford's Buildings Don't Lie. For the, if you want to go science, go that way. It's a textbook. Everything's in there. It's fantastic. But if you're a little more philosophical like I am, I would definitely go down the John Abrams road. It was awesome. A fantastic book.
Great recommendation, certainly. Travis, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show. For everyone listening and watching, I'll put lots of links down below to the event that's coming up, BS and Beers, different chapters, their main website there, as well as the Instagram. And with that, Travis, enjoy the rest of your day.
Oh, man. Thanks a lot, Sean. I really appreciate the opportunity. It was a real pleasure to talk to you today. Thank you.